I think I'm going to get along with Carlos real well.
It's not great radio, though.
Oh, no. I get along with Carlos real well. Big Hoss, who's my alter ego.
Big Hoss.
And Carlos get along real well.
Okay. Well, we're hoping this. Maybe we should get t-shirts and stuff done.
Oh, my God. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
I can actually get that done. I can make that a reality.
Did you see the Skyrim one I sent you? Skooma?
No.
There's the IGN have got a couple now. They've got a Skooma one, another one, and then a Diablo 3 one, where you know how Diablo 3 didn't work for the first day?
Yeah. It's
Error 37.
Yeah.
It was like, Error 37 made me go outside. And I hated it. Alright, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's just write. He'll come in. He'll come in if he comes in.
Like, high impact. It's like bringing like a big forward off the bench.
Big Dave Taylor.
You can't play a whole game. Alright, so E3.
Hang on.
Welcome to Gamers Make the World Go Round podcast, episode 17.
17. Jesus. I remember when we started, you know.
Seems like yesterday. Well, and we have with us Tim.
Hello.
Brad.
Yeah, come on, man.
And me, Luke. And Pete on his way, possibly. Mm. Empty chair.
Yeah. It's quite sad, isn't it? And no James.
No James, no Podfather. He is four-day weekending, having a good time, probably watching all these E3 press conferences. I'm sure his wife loves that. What's been...
His, you know, the intervention from Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's just replaced that with watching E3...
I think so.
...streaming videos endlessly?
I'm pretty sure. Because the other day I went down and he was... He's like, oh, I'm getting close to the end of my bloody download limits. I was like, what's happened? Oh, well, I downloaded all the press conferences, then they were all in standard def, so I couldn't watch those. So I had to delete those and get them all again in high def. I was like, fucking hell, man.
Actually, he goes, have you seen them yet? Have you seen them? And I was like, no. And he goes, he had all the files there.
Yeah.
He's like, right, well, I'll set up a site for you and send you a link. I was like, oh, you can.
He did the same to me, and I was like, every lunchtime, I'm like, all right, I can get 20 minutes in, jump on, do it, and watch as much as I could. So good.
I actually watched a few of them this morning.
Yeah.
Although the ones that you saw, there are some good stuff there. But
yes.
I don't know if I'd download hours and hours of them.
And this is things like the press conferences go for an hour and a half. So there's like 5 to 10 minute gameplay videos. Everything else is just talking.
Mm.
Like just talking shit about it. And yeah, I watched the first Nintendo one and I was just like...
Amazing James can stay asleep during, stay awake during them, but like bearing in mind he can't stay awake while playing video games himself.
So what ones did we watch? What were the highlights?
Well, I watched the Assassin's Creed one, the Beyond Two Souls. That looks amazing.
I only stumbled across that this morning, Beyond Two Souls. So from the makers of Heavy Rain, is
exactly right. Yeah. And Ellen Page playing the main role.
And there's some kid from a different dimension who you can control the times and...
Yeah, so you can control him, but they all do different things. Like, you can possess people when you're him or something. So, like, if you're playing and then, oh, hang on, I want to possess a guy up in a chopper or a sniper up in a chopper, and then you can possess him with your other guy and snipe enemies from up in a chopper, for example. And what else did I have about it? It had, Oh, that's right. Have you played Heavy Rain?
No.
Apparently, what it does is there's no real game over screen. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Yeah. So it's going to be the same. Beyond Two Souls is the same. So you really, if you...
Like, you can die, but that's the end of your game,
yeah,
I think.
But not like, like if you go this way and do this, or get captured instead of get away, then that just takes a divergent path, and the game continues on.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right. And... Therefore, the replayability will be through the roof.
Exactly. But imagine, like, doing that. Like, having to program that and be like, okay, if this happens, we can do this.
The script is 2,000 pages long, I read this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So...
I wonder, what would a normal movie script be?
I don't know.
200?
Yeah. A
couple hundred pages?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Mm.
So, obviously, that's to take into consideration all of the multiple pathways.
Maybe it's just in really big font.
That's the only script that can be read from space.
3 letters per page.
It's like to his editor, I've done 400 pages today. Then he goes into the subway station. But but it's, you know, like creating choose your own adventures. Remember those old books?
Yeah.
Yep. Like in the branching and stuff that happens.
I love those.
Can you imagine doing that for a 2,000-page script? Imagine making a fuck up. Oh shit! Undo 3 months' work.
Go to page 64. Fuck, there's no 64. Yeah, that would be fucked. That would be the worst.
Yes, so that looks pretty good. There was another game I saw briefly today. It's an open world game where you play a character who
Watch Dogs.
Yes.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
Is that the one where he controls things with his phones, yeah. Can hack in?
So he walks into that art, the art exhibition, and then he like...
That looks awesome.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. Mm. It was amazing. And when he stops the traffic lights, the car accident, and then it goes into like a shooter, and it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that, but it's a long way off. And Beyond is
very
long far
way off. Yeah.
Long way off as well.
Minimum a year. Minimum.
Which... Yeah, is it coming out on the current platforms?
Yeah.
They've confirmed, because there was some rumours that Watch Dogs and the other one, the Star Wars one, were next gen.
Oh, yeah, that one looked good too.
Yeah, and so the Watch Dogs one they've confirmed is definitely 360 and PS3.
Okay.
Star Wars they haven't confirmed. Star Wars they've said it's running on a high-end PC at the moment, and they won't confirm, I think, whether it's going to be on 360 and Xbox and 360 and PlayStation.
Which makes me nervous about buying Watch Dogs. Because if you buy it and play it, how much longer is it going to be before the next console comes out? And then as soon as that comes out, I don't care what I'm playing, it's out the window.
Yeah. But
yeah, it'll be hard to continue playing current gen, won't it?
Yeah.
But that Watch Dogs looked amazing. That looked next gen. Like, when I was looking at that, I was like, that wouldn't surprise me if that was PS4.
Yeah, and I'll take the programmers a bit of time to get the best out of the new machines, won't it?
So. And because if that's going to take minimum, say, a year to 18 months, surely... Consoles won't be long, new consoles won't be long after that. So maybe they'll do a 360 and PS3 version and a PS4 and a 720 version.
No, I think that would be suicide. Because you just wouldn't buy it.
Mm.
No.
And then there'd be a lot of development time and so on and production.
And the current one would have to be shitter than the... Would it look worse?
Yeah, exactly. So you would, you know, if you knew there was a better version coming,
yeah,
you wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, true.
You'd say, fuck off.
You would. You would.
Yeah.
Right into JB Hi-Fi, just fuck off!
Fuck you, substandard.
See you later, 360. But,
it would be interesting to throw out an Xbox without having Red Rings of Death, though. I'm quite looking forward to that.
Something new for an Xbox.
It though. Happens so often, though. You can walk down the street at any given time, and there's just an Xbox flying out of the window.
Out of the window.
With screams of why now? Not again.
Yeah. Every 6 months, no.
And then followed close by, Mom, where's the spare Xbox? if my current Xbox can last, touch wood, until the next gen, I think I'm gonna give it a Viking funeral.
That's
I think
moment.
I'm gonna set it on fire and float it out into the river.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we'll
that
film
would
it.
Be gold.
We'll
yeah,
film
that
it.
Would be gold.
We could form part. That could form part of an alcoholicast.
Yeah. Oh yes, for sure.
So stay tuned for 18 months' time, guys, when Brad's going to sit fire to his Xbox.
18 months, you'll be hopeful, aren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say we are. Sort
oh
of,
come on, it's got to come soon. I hope so.
Yeah, that's like going. My 13-year-old dog's going to live for another 10 years, but
actually, I probably can't afford to drop $1,000 on a console at the moment. Anyway, to tell you the truth.
All right, what else? What else at E3?
Halo 4?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew you would be excited about it.
Yeah.
It does look good. It looked good. I like the HUD. I like how...
Yeah, it kind of looks...
It looks like, more helmety. Like, it looks like you're actually looking out of a helmet, whereas, you know what I mean? Back on the other one, it sort of was just your...
It was just...
Health bar and then a couple
scary.
Of... Yeah, yeah, but now you're like...
I just get excited. I'm getting to the point now that I want to stop watching...
Mm.
The clips because I just like I'm concerned. You know how you see
you
a movie and all the good stuff was in the previews and
yeah.
You kind of walk out.
That's
and
what I've read a lot of that about Prometheus.
Mm.
That everyone was like, why did they have to just put it all in the trailer?
Yeah, so I'm getting concerned that. So I think I'm going to put myself on a little bit of a Halo 4 ban.
Blackout.
Yeah. And just
pretty wise, man.
And just wait.
What did you reckon about the enemies? They looked. They're all tech, sort of mechanical. Do you reckon they're Forerunner?
they're either Forerunner or Forerunner tech, definitely Forerunner
technology.
Tech.
Yeah.
But
the new guns look pretty good.
I just want to kill them. With things that blow up, stabby things.
The end of my rifle, whatever.
Punch them, I don't care.
And did you see that X-ray mode where it went into X-ray vision?
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, you put on some like X-ray mode so you could see like a...
almost like Doom cheats, you could see through walls.
Or Batman.
The sonar.
Exactly
gear.
Like that. Right, okay. Exactly like that. And I reckon this is my highlight, Last of Us.
Yes, that looks just high quality, doesn't it?
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. It was just amazing. Like, the few things, like even just when he goes into that room, obviously you saw the bit where he's walking around and they go in to see the bridge off in the way and then go into the hotel and then he goes up and then, because I watched that, the 7 minute one, I was reading another thing on IGN that said that there was a 17 minute one where it was the same level, but it played out completely differently.
Right.
So, you know how when they go in, she says, oh, maybe we should just sneak around these guys and go around the back way? And in the demo I watched, they sneak around the back and they go in, whereas in the other one, they just went straight in and cut off a whole section, but then all those dudes came into play later on still. So, or you can tackle each mission completely different ways. It's not linear at all.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It looks...
it does look incredible.
When he gets shot, his arm swings back, blood comes off, and he like, oh, and then he gets down behind his cover, and then Ellie's like, are you alright? Like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, that's alright. And they move on, sort of thing. Like, it's fucking amazing.
It does look absolutely glorious, doesn't it?
What's the story behind the game?
Post-apocalyptic, some infection event.
There's safe zones within the United States, it says.
Yep.
Probably old cities and that kind of thing, and there's a ruthless... government or military government, and basically if you do anything wrong you get shot in the face. They just got no patience for any kind of,
and if you get infected you get shot in the face.
Yeah, you get shot in the face
for pretty much anything,
for anything. Yeah. So you've got to toe the line. Toeing the line too strictly means you get shot in the face.
Not shooting in the face.
But
I'm a big fan of being shot in the face.
You like being the shootee.
Yeah, I like to shoot people in the face.
Shoot her.
The shooter. Shoot her. Not the shootee. Yeah. Fuck that up.
50-50 chance. Yeah. Fucked it. It does look, graphically it looks about the pinnacle of what these consoles can do.
It's going to be the best.
Yeah. So what are you fighting infected?
No, well that's the thing. It seems like in the first trailer they showed infected and they haven't showed them since. It's just been other people that are just trying to survive as well and will shoot you in the fucking face. Just for your backpack full of shit.
It kind of has a Walking Dead... like, when you describe it like that, it kind of has a Walking Dead undertone. And, like, there's something bad out there, but the main bad is the other people. Survivors.
Yeah. And also, thematically from... have you read The Road by Cormac McCarthy?
I've just watched the movie.
Seen the film.
Yeah.
With there's enough pictures in it.
With Aragorn.
Viggo Mortensen.
That's the one. That's right. There's the threat, and it's the other people who.
The threat was like, honestly, as you're going through it, and he chokes out one dude, and the guy's like fighting for his life, like for like 10 seconds, just like trying to beat him off, and then another two dudes come in, and like the whole time, you feel like just one dude with one bullet could take him out at any time. Like they move into a room, and then he gets another guy and puts a gun to his head and walks him out into another room as a human shield. But then when the other guy sees him with the human shield, he hides behind a lounge, so you point your gun at him, but then this guy fights you off because you've not got the gun on his head anymore.
Okay, right. Discussion point. So, basically, by the end of this, you need to conclude whether I've got a point or whether I'm just being a pussy.
All right.
As the...
pussy.
As graphics get more photoreal and stuff like that is happening, does it become more distasteful? I mean, James was telling me about he went back to the mission in Battlefield 3 because he wasn't online for a bit, and there's a bit where he was struggling with a knife over somebody and trying to push it down into his chest, and it was like pretty full on. You know, how far is it going to go? And when these things become more real, is that going to become... Are we conditioned to it?
I think
should
so.
I be concerned, or am I a pussy?
I think so. I think there is some relevant concern there, but
I mean, I kind of like the brutality of it, almost.
The brutality has always been part of video games, pretty much.
Like, in Fallout, for example, I'd always get the gore perk, which means when you shot someone, their head would pop off.
I got that.
Yeah. So the more realistic that gets, I'm assuming, the funnier that will become.
Oh, but it's all about, like, the
time. I don't know if it'll be funnier. I reckon the humour will...
Because I think Last of Us lost the humour. When that dude is choking out, man, and I could see the life going out of his eyes nearly, and he's fighting for his life.
That's what I'm
like,
talking about.
It wasn't funny. It was, like, shocking. Mm. And, like, I think... But that's the way that you... In that world, that's how
look,
you would be.
At the end of the day, I reckon if you feel like that, just go play Mario Brothers.
But it's great gameplay. It's great gameplay, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do you remember the game Cannon Fodder? I had it on the Amiga.
No.
So you had this...
James is here, probably, remember.
You had a little squadron.
I think vaguely.
You had a little squadron of four or so on, and you can you just wander around, and you know, you'd love it by the sounds of things. You can organise things. You just blow up hundreds of people with grenades and stuff like that. That's funny. That's funny. It's disconnected from reality.
Yeah.
Choking a guy out who looks almost photoreal I don't know if that's funny.
No, I know what you mean. I don't think it is either. But I think it's like watching a, you know what I mean, like a dark thriller movie or something.
Yeah.
It's like watching The Road, or it's
but
like watching...
You're,
like,
what's the word? You're involved in this.
Yeah. But then people have always said that, you know what I mean? Like, from the dude who tried to stop GTA or whatever.
I'm not trying to say anything.
I'm
anti-censorship. It does not work.
Yeah.
But... I'm wonder about the entertainment value of choking out someone who is pretty much looks real and seeing them struggle for life.
Yeah, I can see your point.
Don't agree.
It's not that I don't agree, because there's certainly large elements of it I do agree with, but I think the reality of it, at the end of the day, it is only a game. It's not like I'm playing this game and someone is getting choked somewhere and they're filming it because I've told them to.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, I can turn it off, and it's kind of, I don't know, I might be a bit weird, but I kind of like those sort of games. You turn the lights off and you sit in your game room in the dark and kind of freak yourself out a little bit, adds to the excitement of the gameplay.
Yeah. I think most, historically, those kinds of games have been set in an otherworldly setting.
Yeah.
Very few of them have been set in a world like The Last of Us, which is, although, okay, it's in the future and there's like all kind of crazy shit has happened. But when they were walking around those streets there, it didn't look so much different from a suburb
city
that had been either bombed or something like that.
So and it's a realistic sort of, as much as infected and stuff, but it's not like there's aliens. It's not like an alien invasion or something.
It's not on another planet.
It's what if the world actually did go to shit? What would it really be like? And I think what you said before about we are desensitized.
Yeah.
So much. Like, look at... It all depends on, obviously, when a game comes out as well. Like, I'm sure when... I obviously wasn't playing it, but when Mortal Kombat 2 came out, or Mortal Kombat, or whatever, where you could rip the skull out and the spine and stuff, and everyone was like, oh my god, this is just...
But the people who are, like, gnashing their teeth about stuff like that, broad statement, but there's people who didn't understand gaming.
Yeah.
I'm talking from the perspective of someone who's played games my entire life, and it's making me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe my perception has changed, because I just found out that I'm going to be a dad this year. So, thank you. I don't think all
congratulations,
Georgie. Thanks. Congratulations, Georgie.
You did a good job too.
Yes, well done. it was actually funny. I hope I can say this on air. But I was talking to Mind Your Manners about this, and we were kind of tracking back on dates and worked out that obviously it must happen around February.
Yeah.
And Manners goes, "What were you doing around February?" And then he starts grinning and he goes, "I know what happened in February. You stopped playing Skyrim."
Which is about Skyrim is great contraception, as
they say. Anyway, maybe that's changing. But to wrap this up, you don't let kids play games.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
we've had that discussion. We've had that discussion before.
That is definitely
That's why there's Wii consoles.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely.
That's why you have Rayman.
Yeah, it's a mature game, definitely. Yeah. And but I love the, like you said before, the kind of Walking Dead aspect of it, of just trying to survive. How you can apparently pick up a beer bottle and scavenge a beer bottle from somewhere, scavenge from band-aids from somewhere, you can use those bandages to wrap a wound. If you get shot, you can wrap the wound so that you get your health back. If you want to use a beer bottle to distract someone who's in a room, throw the beer bottle in the corner of the room. They'll come into the other room.
That's magic.
That's awesome.
But then also, if you've got the beer bottle, bandages, and some alcohol, you can make a Molotov cocktail with it. So like, it's however you want to play the game.
That's
just fucking crazy.
Fantastic.
That is cool. And I guess, hey, if what you're saying is true, and if I feel uncomfortable about choking someone out, then maybe I don't have to take that
option.
Course of action.
Exactly.
Hit them with the beer bottle.
Yes, which I'm completely comfortable with.
So what you're saying is basically, you're not a fan of the ground and pound hand-to-hand combat stuff. You just like to bludgeon people to death with
from
objects.
A distance, just beer bottle to the back of the head.
I think that sums it up, yeah.
Solid.
All right, cool. No, I'm fascinated by that game.
Some therapist somewhere is listening to this podcast going, those three boys need some serious.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those games where if a couple of us get it, then it's one of those ones we'll compare notes on.
Oh, definitely.
It's like, how did you get through this particular scene or whatever it happens to be? I went straight in. I had more bullets at that stage than I thought. So,
yeah,
popped a couple in the head.
And that's the thing is that I want to see if it is really like that. Like, if I save my bullets and I'm really diligent with my bullets, then will I have an advantage over, you know what I mean, if I just run and gun and then click, 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 and then the dude knows that I've got no bullets and will run at me, and like, that's just crazy how the gameplay can go so many different ways depending on what you've got, how you play, how you...
Let's see how interactive the scenery is, because you're talking about beer bottles and stuff, so that might be one thing, but this is like a trash can in the corner.
Mm.
It might be part of the scenery.
Yeah.
So there might be only certain things you can do.
I'd imagine it'd be like the next step. Has anyone played Dead Rising? Where you're the photographer, combat photographer, and you're basically locked in a mall with zombies. And you can sort of make anything into a weapon. Like, you can pick up a bench, seat.
Whereas Uncharted, it's very clear which items you can manipulate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they kind of glow?
It pretty much tells you. You can pick up the gas canister and throw it at your enemies early into, as part of in-game tutorial.
Yeah.
And then you know which items you can pretty much manipulate from then on.
Yeah, exactly right. The other one that I thought was fucking awesome was Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
It's taking non-Assassin's Creed fans like myself to go through the back catalogue, which I'm doing, and looking forward to it. That's how much impact it has. It looks sensational.
I actually watched it for the first time. I thought maybe I should, because I've never played any of the Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, nor did I.
None. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that actually this morning and I went, yeah, okay, that really does look awesome.
I know. I just want to bayonet someone. It'd be great. You see where he bayonets the dude and then shoots the other dude through him?
I like the one where the dude was running from him and he just toddles off up the fort and then jumps and then basically skewers the guy with the bayonet. Naval battle element of it. God.
That was just crazy. I was like, how... That's just the crazy... I hope it's not just little mini-games, like it's not just a couple of times. I hope I can, if I want to, just go... I'm going to go jump on my ship and just go off and just go to the port and
it
just jump on my ship and cruise around for a little bit.
Like, how big is game world going to be? Yeah, well, that's true.
It's set between Boston and New York, I think. So
that could be several locations down the coastline, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I said there's the naval battles are going to be a big part of it. So hopefully.
And there's a significant portion in today, isn't there?
Yeah,
with
Desmond. Yep. So there'll be some Desmond sections, which I didn't know was James was telling me is the guy who plays Drake in Uncharted.
Yes.
Nolan North.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. But with the weapons, you have a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. So you'll have like hidden blade or something, or a sword or something in one hand, and then you might have a bow or something else in the other hand. So, like, you can just be, like, hunting, using your bow, switch to hidden blades or gun or something, and switch all between to those, kind of mix it up. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And the, how he's... Because I thought he was going to be on the, American side. But then in one of the videos, he's talking to a British guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just here to get the Templars. Like, he's playing on both sides.
Awesome. I'll side with the Brits.
I won't be.
rewrite American history. Yeah. We're still there.
Imperial England lives on.
I take Stephen's view out of Braveheart. If I fight for you, do I get to kill the English? Excellent.
Note to listeners, Brad sat here with his Wallabies jersey on, which just kind of reaffirms his English resenting ways.
The other thing was
like a World Cup from 2003, Jax.
2003,
unbeatable team.
Field goals.
Dawn Guard.
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty exciting.
Yes.
Once.
So, vampire skill tree and werewolf skill tree.
Yes, so we were talking about this last week, weren't
we?
We were. So we picked it. So, skill tree... let me just go back into Skyrim mode a second.
Mm-hmm.
The skill trees only become relevant when you get a perk,
mm-hmm.
which means I need to level up in order to invest perks in those skill trees,
exactly.
which presents a problem. Because I'm level 70-odd, and it's taking a long time to level up.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm not going to be able to invest much in those skill trees.
But if you're using
new
those
skills,
they're going to level up quicker.
Yeah.
This is true.
Thank you. Exactly.
Good point.
And
because that's how I'm leveling up at the moment is finding something I haven't got a high.
There's very little
skilling.
That's not
yeah.
high.
Because I don't know if I like the fact that, like we were saying last week, continuing on from level 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever you're at, because you're gonna—I don't know—it's gonna have to really pump up the difficulty if they.
Yeah, unless they have a really good, leveled enemy mechanic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which really, and that was one of the criticisms of Oblivion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it didn't matter how much work you did, it felt like everything in Oblivion was the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So hard.
Exactly. Dungeons were as hard at level 50 as they were at 20. At least in Skyrim, you felt like you were making progress.
It all scaled to your level.
Yeah, so if they do that, then they're going to have to do it really skillfully, so it's difficult, but then you feel like you're progressing and your vampire's becoming more powerful. And
exactly.
Then, you know, if you invest time in grinding, then you get the benefits from it.
And if you're going to be able to start these quests at level 10...
Mm. Yeah, that's the minimum level requirement, wasn't it?
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And so then it's going to open up... There's going to be two new worlds... To not new worlds, new areas.
10 of the day's work.
Pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. It's not.
You get to level 2 or 3 by the time you take the first wander around down into White
Riverwood. Riverwood, yeah, definitely. But, what was I just saying?
There's two new somethings.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, at the end when you go to Sovngarde?
Yep.
Oh, spoilers?
Yeah, earmuffs.
So, you know,
I've pretty much figured out what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just yeah, play that option.
Brad, it involves a dragon.
Shit.
No. Well, that's good because I can kick dragons' ass.
So there's gonna be two new areas like that, but a heap bigger, so that you won't actually be on the Skyrim map.
Ah.
Yeah. So you'll be.
So there will be some realms.
Exactly. So one's called Solkhan or Soldkhan.
Okay.
And you'll be able to go there, which will be. I think it's sort of maybe like a vampire area.
So a vampire's looking to cross realms into Skyrim.
I think so. But then there's a vampire castle, which is up near Solitude, up near some wharf, some jetty or wharf or something, which is right up in the top left-hand corner of the map. So there'll be a big castle and stuff area that you can go to up there, and then there'll be the two other areas.
Okay.
So there's going to be a fair, and there's a very contentious.
Because there was that bit in the trailer where the sky was going all dark and bloody and red and stuff, so if that's happening in a different realm, then it doesn't affect Skyrim itself.
And if you're a vampire, you get night vision.
Ooh.
So you'll be able to, if the sky does black out, which will probably, say that'll happen in the main story or something, and then it might change back or something. But for that time, if you're a vampire, you'll be able to go into night vision mode. And vampire lord mode.
Okay.
Wings. That's fucking awesome.
So, in Skyrim, you can pretty much do anything. Right? You can do all the quests, but it looks like this one will demand at least 2 playthroughs. Because
you got to play on the other side.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
it wasn't like Civil War. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it actually says that on the box.
Oh.
You must play this twice, or someone will come shoot you in the face.
You're right. Civil War. That's the only exception, isn't it, in Skyrim? That's
the
only one where you make a distinct choice and it determines
that you have to stick with. Yeah, exactly right. Mm. So I never got to play Imperial. I only played Stormcloak. You were Imperial, weren't you?
I was Imperial. The Stormcloaks are racist bastards.
I'm yet to make a decision on that one.
Mm.
See the. Imperials, they're like the English.
No,
come
then.
In, come in, well, tell us what to do, take over the show.
I'd say more like Romans.
Okay.
Build roads, fucking sewers, wine, you know, getting fucking shit sorted out.
Spreading culture.
Yeah, libraries and fucking music and all that shit. We wouldn't have video games for the Romans. Fucking, if it was up to the Stormcloaks, we'd all be sat round in caves, fucking beating each other in the head with clubs. And when anything remotely different, like an elf or whatever, a dwarf, wanders up, they fucking kill them brutally and feel justified doing it. We're very strongly about this.
He's thought this through. He has definitely thought this through.
Well, that makes up my mind.
So you haven't even decided. Come be a racist with me.
I fucking hate elves.
Very inclusive.
Oh, God. God. Yeah, so that Dawn card's going to be fucking awesome.
It is. And it's so, so timely as well that I've had this hiatus, and you forced hiatus from Skyrim.
Yeah.
To get it all sorted out, get your PC fixed,
mm-hmm.
And then away we go again. And I reckon it's going to give me another few months, not just the 30 hours it'll take to do both sides
of
the Dawn card quest, but then back and do other shit.
And, like, it's pretty good value for money.
Yeah, no doubt.
15 hours for $20, whatever it's
like. I mean, how long's Last of Us going to take to play through? 12? 15 hours?
Yeah.
Be $100 when it comes out?
Yeah, probably 10 to 15.
Mm.
Depending on how quick you run through it.
But then again, based on what we talked about before, you can go back and do it again.
Exactly right. And that's the thing nowadays, isn't it? It's all about replayability.
Yeah. These choices through games, I don't know. There's something about being able to do everything in one playthrough which really appeals to me.
Yeah.
But when you make choices...
There's only so much time, isn't there?
Yeah. No, I'm kind of with you. Like, even when I was... starting with Skyrim, and I decided to play Space Marine just because I got sick of, do I want to stop what I'm doing now and go off on that quest or do that quest? Like, I just played Space Marine, which was just start here, finish there, done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of...
Yeah, and I actually enjoyed that about Uncharted,
mm.
to be honest. It was like, it was a great cinematic experience, pretty much. The story goes on. There was no stress in that. I didn't have to worry about what I was going to do next. It was like... go this way, forward, shoot things, climb things, and you
solve
will be victorious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So maybe it's should be that type of game can be played alongside other ones which you can complete and get that kind of satisfaction out of.
But there's something good about being able to sink hundreds of hours into a game and then know that you could probably still go back and play it the next year or in 6 months' time and still enjoy it, like Skyrim,
yeah,
you
definitely.
Know what I mean? Like, there's... Fuck, for that... $60 or $70 or whatever we paid for it.
Oh, like, God, I mean, I worked out how much I paid, like, per hour.
Did you?
Yeah, we got that, because of course it goes down, so
yeah,
it's something
yeah.
like on 62 cents an hour or whatever it was, and I was like, that's fucking good value, that's...
Nothing compares to that for
yeah.
entertainment.
If you were to wake up and go, well, for the next hour I'm going to give you 62 cents, go and entertain yourself, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
No. You have to wait for hour two just to buy a can of Coke.
You've died of thirst by then.
Yeah. The fuck? Counting out your 5 cent piece.
But here's the thing, I could see in the future, yeah, when the next generation of fishers is born, it'd be like, back in my day, we could play a game for 62 cents an hour.
Yeah, it'd be $300 for a game. Then.
Well, that's the thing though, isn't it? I mean, it is recognised that comparatively games are cheaper now, which we talked about before. Hey, something's just occurred to me that happened.
Ding!
There's two things that I want to talk about.
Yep.
First of all, real quick, Amalur doesn't put me to sleep.
Beautiful.
I love it. I've put about 14 hours into it already, mm-hmm. Which is considerably more than what James did over a course of a month.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I clocked
well,
8 hours in a day.
Sleeping time?
No sleeping time.
8 hours in a day. That's a good
thing.
Yeah,
because Georgie went to that... Hens party, and it was raining, so I did. I put 8 hours in before the footy came on.
Yep.
And even then, it was a stretch. And look, main quest, whatever, you know, I've got no fate. You know, that's pissing some people off, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But just being able to run around and the combat and leveling up and all those kinds of things, I love. So I do like it much more than James.
What kind of play? What kind of.
I've taken a leaf out of his book,
mm-hmm.
actually, and I've invested heavily in the sorcery
okay.
world and
yep.
and supplemented by finesse.
Okay.
So it's a chick, first time ever.
Yeah. Wow.
Big
move.
Progress.
And I used chakrams, those two frisbee, sharp frisbee things, and they
yeah,
rock
yeah.
my world. It's just
so effectively your Xena warrior princess.
Yes.
Pretty much. But the Chakrams, you know, they're slicing the fuck out of these bad guys. And then you do this final one, they both disappear off into the distance. Mm-hmm. And the bad guy's, oh shit, I'm still alive, and comes after me again. And they swing round and chop him on the way back, and now catching me.
Oh, that's
falls
awesome.
Down
that's
bleeding.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I don't
like
get
the fucking boomerang kid in Mad Max 2.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's very, very satisfying, so that's good. But the other thing I want to talk about is there was a patent put in for advertising during interactive play by Sony. Did you guys see this? Yeah. You obviously have.
Yeah.
Which, and the story concluded, and I don't know if they're off the money here, that the game is actually going to stop and do a commercial break.
That's now, we spoke about this because we said the game is going to be on a disc.
Oh, hang on. So, has this been discussed on the
cast? No. We were just talking about it.
We were just talking about it during the game is going to, the ad is going to be on the disc, meaning at the same point, or they might vary the points of the time, but the ad is going to be exactly the same on the disc and won't be able to be refreshed. So
I don't think that's how it's going to play out. I think it'll be for online free games. So you are.
That's kind of the only way it'll work, really.
But no, I can't see how it'd be on disc.
Yeah, because that's like we were saying the other day. So look at the moment is like something like 40-50% of people don't plug in their PlayStation or Xbox online.
Yeah.
So if it is for normal games, for not just online games, then it'd have to be on the disc.
Sure.
And so that means that there would have to be either a certain amount on there, and it would switch between them or something, which that just seems fucking bizarre. But okay, if you're getting a free game, I can maybe understand it, but not mid. Like, if I'm just about to shoot you in the fucking face with my shotgun, and then everyone gets paused mid-game.
All right, what about this then?
Fuck that.
You can have a free version of a game with ads, or you pay 20, 30 bucks on PSN or whatever to get the version of the game without ad breaks.
If it's a good enough game, here's my 20 or 30 bucks.
Me too. Mm. Without all
that question.
I mean, that's not a shift, but it's going to that different models of paying things that we were paying for things, like the contract that we were talking about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing is, for those who didn't hear that podcast, you can pick up the next generation of consoles and have a subscription to that online service, and it's that subscription which pays for the hardware, like a phone contract.
Yeah.
So that's one way of paying for hardware, and this is a way for getting games out there and making money from games which people normally wouldn't buy, but are subscribed to this on the basis that there's going to be commercials through it.
But they were already doing that with MMOs anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, there's so many MMOs now which are free to play on the basis that, okay, you get a certain amount for free and you can play, but if you want the premium content, if you want the extra stuff, if you want to have more characters, if you want to, like that Dust 514,
yep,
for example, you know what I mean? It's going to be free to play, but then all the microtransactions, that's going to cost you money. So you may be paying $2 for this item, or $3 for this item, or those kind of things. Whereas, I think this pattern, I think it was more towards, like, normal games.
If you're right, and it is towards normal games, in the forum where it was announced that I was reading, there was probably look, not a casual gamer, from what he was saying and that kind of thing, but he indicated that would stop him playing games.
I wouldn't buy any games on it. If I had a choice between a console that had that or a console that didn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Hands down.
No brainer.
Hands down.
No brainer, go with the one without.
So if Sony do it and then Microsoft don't, fucking see you later.
And if they both do, then I'm going to join the PC legions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
I'm going to hook a PC up to my big screen. I can play it with a controller. Exactly. I can buy games for cheap on Steam.
Exactly right. Exactly.
If I could just get my fucking PC to work, I'd already be doing it, to be honest.
I was actually waiting for the little, if I can get only this shit to work.
And that's the roadblock for people like me, isn't it?
Mm.
And me.
I
can turn one on and send an email.
Yeah.
And
it just shits me to tears. Just when you think you've got everything, all your ducks in a row, something doesn't work, and it's money and it's expertise to get it sorted again.
Yeah, we can't all be fixing with fixes. And
sorry, I looked at Luke accusingly then, like it's his fault.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I'm not.
Dirty PC.
But honestly, it's cheaper to play games on PC now, because not only is it you get your sales on Steam, but it's even cheaper from the shop. Yeah. PC games are always cheaper now for some reason. It's a fucking good option.
Yeah, and you get games like Diablo.
Yeah. Oh,
how is
God.
It? How is it?
It's pretty amazing.
Is it?
It's pretty amazing. So night one, I sat down, booted up. I was like, I'll have a go by myself. It was fucking ridiculous. Like, I sat down at 7 o'clock, had my dinner, fucking ate that really quick, fucking teeth brushed.
Your action for eating dinners and brushing teeth is very similar to your dual wielding in Skyrim.
Bad radio. Did you know that all my actions are that?
And I didn't come out, and it was exactly the same as him. I didn't come out in limp wristed. It's again the same action.
What was that the other day? Oh, never mind. Anyway, go on.
So I sat down at literally 7 o'clock. I looked at my watch. What I thought was maybe an hour later, it was 10 past 10.
Right.
I was like, fuck.
That's the sign of a good game.
Like, it just went like that. It was so ridiculous. And then I realised that I'd made a character on the wrong server. I was on the European servers. So I was like, why can't I find any of my fucking friends? Putting these names in, I'm like, nothing. Right, switched it to America, so I had to start again because I created that character on the wrong server. So I got to level 11, but now I'm at level 15 or so. I'm playing a monk, so it's sort of like a close-up sort of character. I use spirit, and he's pretty fucking awesome.
Cool.
It's mad. The loot is fucking awesome. Like, what I did in night two, right? Because you got to go through the whole, finish the game on normal, and then you open up Nightmare, Hell, and Inferno. So, essentially, you're running through the game plenty of times, but as you go through, the difficulty goes up. So, all my mates are on Nightmare at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they're on Hell. So, they wanted me to be on Nightmare so we could do some Nightmare stuff, so it was a bit harder. So, I was like, alright, well, let's find a way so we can get me through this. And then I was like, well, you guys create the server. We'll do the last level. I'll do the last level. I'll skip all the cinematics so I don't hear anything about the story. Beat the bad boss and then move on so that we're on the hard one. We did all that. Beat Diablo on normal. Killed him. Had four of us. It was a piece of cake because they were all higher level.
Yeah.
And then didn't work. They must have sussed it out that people could do that. So I still got to go through and finish it all on fucking normal even though I tried to shortcut it.
Luke and his mates can't outwit Blizzard.
Yeah, no. Now we're onto it. But it's fucking awesome. I went a barbarian at first, and that was pretty fun, but this monk is like, I just get in there and fucking fuck everyone up, and then I call in my big bell. I've got a big bell that comes down and goes on top of these other dudes, so that's pretty fun. That's fucking cool, man.
I've got this crazy image in my head.
His main attack weapon's a bell end.
It's giant, man. You should see
it. Not a bell end.
It's
a giant cock.
It's like three times the size of me, and it just goes on top. It just lands on top of me.
That's what you said. That's bragging, yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing that.
Unleash bell.
And you go in, and it's all random dungeons, so stuff's in different places every time. Oh shit, time's flying.
Yeah, just wrap this up.
Yeah, okay. What are we.
No, wrap Diablo. So, I've got a question about it. So the addictive quality of the game is not about the story or anything like that. It's a looting game, yeah?
It's the items, yeah.
And leveling up.
Yeah. So, when I was playing those last few levels...
That's ticking every box for
yeah. So, when I was playing the last few levels, because obviously they're a bit harder than where I'm at the moment, so I'm only level 15, so I was getting all these items for, level 25 to 30,
mm-hmm.
and I was getting these items that were perfect for my character, and I'd be like, oh, I just want to put it on. And I have to wait 10 levels. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I should have just worked my way through instead of jumped to this point. Now I've got all these fucking awesome items sitting in my bank that I can't use.
That'll learn you, Luke.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck with the system.
But yeah, so it's just that because the higher the difficulty you play on, the better chance you have of the ridiculous drops.
Right.
So we're talking 0.001% chance of a drop and someone will get it and they'll be like, oh my god, this is the greatest item in the world. So that's and that's why the real money auction house is going to be crazy, because people are going to be able to find those items and then flog them for real cash.
Alright, good. Okay, so Brad, you have an update that you want to share with us?
Well, I brought in the Sega Bass fishing rod. For the Nintendo Wii, the left-handed, I should say.
Yeah,
limited edition.
Yeah, limited edition.
I think it only came in left-handed. To tell you the truth, I don't know why.
It's still limited edition.
Limited edition. Opened, signed. We'll sign it. It's still up for grabs.
Then.
It's still up for grabs.
Definitely.
And actually, it's up for grabs because. There wasn't much quality in the responses this week, was there?
There wasn't.
Mostly because...
you mean quality or quantity?
Well, let's discuss that. On the basis we didn't have any responses this week. So
plenty of comments on both the brand new Facebook group and plenty of little comments here and there on the website, but no real standout.
If you want something to be read out on the podcast, then you just say question for the podcast or mm-hmm. A point to be made on the next one, and it will definitely make it on. We don't have much of a...
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, a quality...
You could be competing with the ones of other listeners. So provided you can beat the other person who's going to ride...
Yeah, it's a very high chance of winning the fishing rod.
If you write two, you might even get two read out.
There's still only one fishing rod. It is a one-of-a-kind Sega Bass fishing rod for the Nintendo Wii.
Okay, cool. So that the prize is still up for grabs, is what we're saying?
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay. Sitting there, glistening.
Oh, just so tempting.
Waiting to reel in those bass.
Waiting for that glorious Wiimote.
With nunchuck. Because the nunchuck goes into... that actually becomes the hand. Real part of it. Hilarious.
Oh, God. Well, I think that's it for another week.
Yep.
So hit us at gamersmaketheworldgoaround.com. peoplesnoob@gmail.com.
Yep. Join our Facebook group.
Facebook.com/gamersmaketheworldgoaround, maybe. Just search for it, otherwise.
You can actually go to gamersmaketheworldgoround.com and
like us.
I'll just Google
follow,
it, you lazy bastard.
Follow the link. Or search in Facebook, gamersmaketheworldgoaround or one
more. Alright, well,
see yous out.
See yous out.
See yous out.
Let's do it.